Welcome to the Talent Development Think Tank Podcast, the number one podcast for learning and talent development professionals. Now here's your host, Andy Storch.
Welcome back to the Talent Development Think Tank Podcast. I am your host, Andy Storch, and I'm excited that you are joining me today for my bonus Q&A conversation with Annalisa Jackson, who is an ICF certified somatic coach and trauma-informed facilitator working with leaders and organizations. And if you didn't listen yet to our last conversation, make sure you go back and check that out. We talked all about Annalisa's work as a somatic coach and what it means to get into somatic coaching and being a trauma-informed facilitator and how that relates to creating more psychological safety in our organizations, more inclusive cultures, and more cohesive teams so that we can get more done and run into less conflict. She gave some great advice for how leaders can approach these things, how L&D can work with leaders to create more cohesive teams and inclusive cultures. So make sure you go back and check that out. Today is our bonus Q&A conversation. And Annalisa, you've had an interesting career. You've done some cool things over the years. And obviously you've been on your own journey, made your own changes. What would you say has been your proudest moment or biggest accomplishment so far in your career?
Something that's so important to me is creating possibility and opportunity for people to really connect and feel like they're not alone in the challenges that they're experiencing. And I would say in the recent work that I've been doing and facilitating offsites for companies, it's those moments where team members have this moment of realizing they have so much more in common and in connection with their colleagues and feel that sense of deepening trust and belonging and commitment to shared vision and purpose. Yeah, those are the wins for me when I can leave a group or a team that I've worked with and see that their trust has been built with each other or grown a few steps forward, and that they're also feeling more equipped in doing the work that they care about from a place of more internal resourcing and knowing how to resource themselves. Yeah, those have been such big wins in these last few years.
Love it. On the flip side, I think you even mentioned in our last conversation that you've made plenty of mistakes over the years, as we all have. What would you say has been one of your biggest failures or mistakes in your career, and what did you learn from it?
Yeah, I think when I mentioned earlier, just early on in my career, I was so enthusiastic about bringing in more movement and creativity into team, like facilitated gatherings. And I had done some training in yoga, and so I was bringing in mindfulness. And I know now, looking back, that I didn't do the best that I could. I mean, at the time I was working with the best that I had, and now I can look back and see, oh, there was a lot more that I could have done. There was a lot more that I could have done to create more of that psychological safety and lead those spaces from a place of invitation, inviting people into connecting with themselves or touching base with their bodies, their emotions, versus saying, this is what we're going to do and everyone do it. That can cause a lot of harm and can often, I think it's really important, especially when we're in a professional setting, inviting people into a place of introspection, connection, that we're doing that in a way that's thoughtful and mindful of the power dynamics in the room and whether people might want to engage in that way.
Yeah, very true. When you think about talent development, leadership development, even coaching, what would you say is one of the biggest challenges in that space today?
I think I think since 2020, there's been a huge push for well-being and mental health. And that's been, I think, a good shift that companies are paying more attention to that. And I think that there's still such a focus on individual resources rather than collective resilience building. Like, how are our teams strengthening our capacity to navigate stress together or to navigate some of the challenges that come up? Because so often when stress comes, it's just a pressure cooker on the existing challenging interpersonal dynamics or individual stress management practices. And I've been a part of groups where we actually worked through some of that as a collective. And it was so much more transformative than just doing my one-on-one work with my coach or my therapist, but actually being in collectives where we're sharing honestly about how we show up under pressure and how we are wanting to grow. I think there's a lot that we're not talking about in spaces of leadership development that would really benefit our teams to be having more candid and open conversations about, so that there can be more collective growth. And that's a lot of the work that I do with teams, is opening up space and creating conditions for safety around some of those conversations. Mm. The other thing that I see a lot in like training and talent development is, again, this focus on head knowledge versus behavioral or embodied practice. And I think so much of the change that is longer lasting is when we build new habits towards the new behavior, the way of being that we want to cultivate. Because we know that under pressure, even if we have head knowledge about how we should be, under pressure, what comes out 9 out of 10 times is the thing we've been doing, the thing we've been practicing all along. And so I think it's really important to have trainings that allow us to actually practice new ways of showing up in more of an embodied or behavior-based way.
Yeah, completely agree. Is there a trend that you're following right now or excited about in this space?
I'm excited about the responsibility that more companies are taking to care for the well-being and sustainability of their employees. And I think there's an opportunity to connect even more of, like, to really build that connection between leadership development and resilience, like our capacity to manage stress and ambiguity as a leadership quality, I think is something I'm hearing some people talk more about. And I'm excited about that because I think it's such a key part of being an effective leader.
Yeah.
In our last conversation, we talked about the collective nervous system and how the leader, the facilitator, has such power, influence to be able to shape how a group interacts by their own presence. If they are calm and grounded, they can invite others into more of that like regulated nervous system energy. And I think a lot of us don't know how to do that. And I think building that capacity or awareness of how we can do that and how we can set that tone with our presence is really powerful. And I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I agree. Annalisa, is there a book or a TED Talk that's made a big impact for you or you often recommend?
I'm going to share a couple. As it relates to the mind-body connection, Bessel van der Kolk's Body Keeps the Score is super popular. And I recommend that one. I also recommend Amanda Blake's Your Body is Your Brain. That one, I think, has some really practical strategies, is very... Yeah, it's easy to read. Body Keeps the Score reads a little more like a textbook. And this one just has a lot more stories and is a lot more accessible for people who want to dive deeper into understanding the brain-body connection, and especially as it relates to stress management and leadership. One of my other personal favorites is Priya Parker's Art of Gathering. Mm. And she talks a lot about how to really match the events that we design with their purpose. And that's something I think a lot about as a facilitator of company trainings or workshops or even gatherings that I have in my home to build community, is thinking about how to design the event or training effectively to the purpose rather than just do it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah. I agree. Last question for you, Annalisa, for those out there in talent development or anywhere who are looking to achieve more success and happiness in their careers, what's one more piece of advice you would give?
Do less. I think, pause more maybe is the other way to say that. I think that there is so much richness in slowing down to know ourselves and to be clear on our commitments and our intentions for who we want to be. But oftentimes what we do is we reach for one more resource. We reach for another training. We reach for another connection. And I found that there's a lot of value in slowing down to listening to what's already here and to what's present and letting that guide us and trusting that, yeah, there's a lot to learn from what's already present.
Yeah, completely agree. You know, some people need to do less. Some people maybe could benefit from slowing down a little bit. Some of us like to do a lot of things, but it's still important to pause and to reflect and take care of ourselves and our health and our body. So thank you for that reminder, Annalisa. And thank you for being here and sharing so much with us. I know people can get in touch with you through your website, through LinkedIn. We'll put links in our show notes. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you and seeing where all of this goes and embracing more of this myself. So thank you for being here. And for those of you listening, thank you so much for listening. I hope you got value from this and that you took some notes, you had some ideas. You at least got 3 books now to go read, which is great, and more ideas for the future. And I hope that you will be more kind to yourself, that you'll pause, take care of yourself, take care of your health, take care of the people around you. And if you want more information about our upcoming events, head on over to our website, which is tdtt.us. That's tdtt.us. Thank you again for listening, for sharing, for reviewing. Annalisa, thank you again for being here, and I will talk to you next time.
Thanks, Andy.